the third largest country in the world, but it has a population of 1.3 billion, four times as many as the U.S.
The city of Chongqing has a greater population than that of Canada, with 35 million people.
91% of Chinese are Han, and there are 55 ethnic minorities.
Students in China are expected to memorize 2,000 of the 40,000 written Chinese characters by fourth grade.
There are over 100 million religious people in China. These religions include Buddhism, Confucianism, and Taoism.
The Chinese invented paper, gunpowder, and the compass.
China has two main rivers, the Yellow and the Yangtze. The Yangtze River is the fourth longest in the world.
The Great Wall is the largest man-made structure in the world. It stretches over 5,000 miles.
China's average life expectancy is 71.6 years.
The oldest tree species in the world is the Chinese ginkgo tree, which first appeared in the Jurassic.
Chinese fortune cookies are not, nor have ever been, a traditional Chinese food.
China is one of the three countries to send a man into space.
China's economy grows as much in 1 month as most countries do in 2 years.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Chapel. We hope that today we can give you a taste of our experience in China this semester and introduce you to each of our group members.
All right, let's begin. Class, get in the three lines. This is our third Tai Chi class, so you should be getting the hang of it by now. Let's begin. Now remember, Tai Chi is about knowing your own energy. There's a universal life force that flows through everything, and it's about channeling that. You're supposed to flow like water, like, that's good.
Man, we're awful. Group member most likely to wear a full-size Pikachu costume to the train station. Emma. Most likely to describe her poop over Google Translate to a concerned host mother. Melinda. Most likely to always have a Snickers on hand. Nicole. Most likely to be mothered to death. Brittany.
We had two host family stays, one for 5 weeks in Nanchong and one for two in Anqing. I had an awesome time with both families and I learned a lot. One night, while staying with my first host family in Nanchong, I was introduced to a little three-year-old cousin. When she first saw me, she got very quiet and avoided me. My host sister asked her later what was wrong and found out that the little girl was afraid of me because of how I looked. I was the first foreigner she had ever seen in person. The next weekend, we all went to the countryside. The cousin mostly ignored me as before, but after lunch, everyone else started to play cards. I think it was then that she realized that she was either had to be bored to death or be entertained by me. The afternoon started with her shyly peeking around table legs and giggling, and ended with me picking her up and spinning her around in circles. She didn't speak a word of English, nor I of Mandarin, so we did a lot of pointing at animals and imitating them. It may not have been the deepest relationship I formed on the trip, but it certainly was one of the most rewarding.
Okay, we'll see you later if you go home.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Meet your Nagoren.
Megoren?
Americans! Americans!
Photo? Okay. As you just saw from that skit about street interactions, China is very different from America. Now, we're just going to mention a few more of these differences.
In our travels, we always found the Chinese people to be warm, accommodating, and hospitable to us. Sometimes they did some unexpected things to make you feel like one of the family, like taking your dirty laundry from your room, cleaning it, and returning it to your room freshly folded.
If there's an accident or something happens publicly, huge crowds gather and just stand and stare, sometimes pushing closer to see what happened.
We found toasting to be a major part of Chinese culture when friends go out to eat. Like in the United States, toasting is a way to welcome friends or to show respect.
Toasting never ends. As long as there is something in the bottle, there is someone to be toasted.
In the States, there tends to be set prices when you buy things, and in China, this is sometimes true. Much of the time, however, you can engage in bargaining to try and get a better price.
In the US, karaoke is kind of a joke, mostly that people go on Thursday nights to sing at Applebee's and sound terrible. But in China, it is the thing to do for parties or on Friday nights, and everyone does it.
Parks in America are reserved for Little League baseball and walking your dog. In China, large groups of people have dance classes almost every day, and there are almost always at least six people singing loudly with microphones in the park. Despite these sharp contrasts to our own culture, we found ourselves adapting quickly to our new environment and making the most of every situation we found ourselves in.
Most likely to make corny puns, Dylan.
Most likely to be seen photobombing, Deirdre.
Most likely to say something innocently provocative, Gia.
Most likely to be mistaken for Brad Pitt, Thor, David Beckham, Legolas, or Tom Cruise, Jonathan.
While we are in China. Brittany and I are going to continue to talk a little more about how we experience the education system there.
So many of us had host siblings who would be in school until around 10 p.m. at night and doing homework.
Test scores are highly emphasized, especially on the college entrance exam.
Their whole senior year is spent preparing for the test instead of learning any new material.
We also found that parents are heavily invested in their child's education, especially getting into a good college and what they choose as their major.
So one day I came home to my host family and my host sister was very upset. So I asked her what was wrong and she told me that her and her parents had had a big argument about what her future major was going to be. She was set on the science track in high school, but she really wanted to be a history major when she got to college, which would put her in the liberal arts track in high school. But her parents had thought that a science-related major would be better for her in the future, and they couldn't see eye to eye on this issue.
I also did some research about master teachers in China who still teach their content in elementary and high schools, but also have more responsibility in instructing novice teachers by doing model lessons, critiquing lesson plans, observing classes, etc. I thought this was kind of cool since the US doesn't have this kind of system as well structured as China, and many times teachers have to move into administration or be a professor to gain this responsibility and are no longer able to be in the classroom.
So this is some of what we've experienced of the education system in China, but we're all very interested in seeing how it develops in the future.
Now we're going to learn some stretches that we learned how to do, and they believe that it is to prolong your life. So we want everyone to join in this, so go ahead and stand up. Stand up. So on the first one, raise your arms and follow what we do. And on this, you want to feel your intestines stretching, not your arms. Good job. Okay, you can put your hands down. Now find the second knuckle on your middle finger, and then find the crown of your head and make small circles on the top of your head. Yeah, good. Okay, now bend over, make two fists with your hands, and pound your lower back. Good job. Now these stretches, they believe that this can expand your life by 4 minutes. Shay Shay Ni, you may have a seat.
Most likely to run out of a bathroom screaming. Hattie.
Most likely to make instant friends and be given free stuff. Tyler.
Most likely to get into an unmarked taxi. Abby.
Most likely to ask, are you going to eat that? While still eating her own food. Malika.
Before we left for China, a wise professor told us, one reason why traveling is so good is because each culture, each religion, and each person teaches us something new about who God is. When it came to religion, a lot of our focus in China was on the three main religions, Buddhism, Confucianism, and Taoism. People typically do not focus on just one religion, but rather they take bits and pieces of different religions to form their belief systems. This might even mean that one person lights incense and prays at a Buddhist temple, then goes down the street and does the exact same thing at a Taoist temple. One explanation that we heard for this was that they were sort of covering all of their bases. While in a Tibetan town called Xiahe, we got to experience monastery life up close and personal. We observed different types of prayer, lighting incense, kowtowing, which is a way of bowing, and walking around the monastery on something called the kora, while spinning prayer wheels. We enjoyed conversations with a monk in his home as he expanded on Tibetan Buddhist philosophy as well as the lifestyle of the monks. One day, a monk was showing us around, and as he was doing so, he expressed that his impression of the US is that all Americans are unspiritual and violent. I think I can speak for all of us when I say that it really saddened us to hear that's the impression that our nation gives. Throughout China, there are a number of Taoist mountains, and we got to climb quite a few of them. Usually these were our moments to kind of get away from city life and enjoy nature for a while. But I also have to admit that it was quite a workout as we literally climbed thousands of stairs just to get to the top. I really enjoyed the time we got to spend in these areas, in the Taoist areas, as well as the time I got to spend studying Taoism. Whether I was studying Tai Chi, reading books, or meeting with a 95-year-old professor from our university, I was feeling more and more like there were parts of Taoism and talking about balance and all sorts of things that really fit well with Christianity and my own personal faith. One might even say I adopted a sort of minor obsession with making connections and seeing how it fit into my life. It raised a lot of questions for me, but more than anything, it has challenged me to approach each relationship with others, my relationship with the earth, and my relationship with God in new ways.
Before coming to China, I was under the impression that due to the atheistic nature of communism, that the church was not allowed to practice publicly. But I was pleasantly surprised. The church in China is active and growing. While denominations are not allowed, there is a government-sanctioned Protestant church that operates nationwide under the name the Three Self Patriotic Movement. We spoke with a pastor from Beijing who leads a congregation there and learned that this is a really exciting time for the church in China. Many young people are joining, and the church is steadily growing. No one is exactly sure how many Christians are in the country, however, because of the house churches. Those who don't believe that the government should have a say in the church will gather in groups, some large and some small, to worship. Recently, a number of these churches have become more vocal, stating that they want to be recognized by the government, but do not wish to fall under the Three Self label. We had the opportunity to worship in several different Three Self churches as we traveled. It was really neat to be able to see and better understand the concept of a global church, even though we couldn't understand the language. I was encouraged to continue to pray for the church in China. Music was one of the ways that we were able to connect, though, with what was happening in the services. We enjoyed singing along with some familiar hymns, such as Come Thou Fount. We're now going to sing one verse in Mandarin and invite you to join us on the first verse again in English, and that is number 521 in your blue hymnals.
Visiting today doesn't exist any longer. So we're going to go to plan X, Y, and potentially Z. All right, let's go.
Merle, slow down. Playing short little legs.
So fast.
Merle, can we get ice cream?
Yeah, ice cream! Merle, are you my friend?
All right, so 20 years ago, this building here was the tallest building in Shanghai. And that was all swampland.
That's a cool story, though.
And it is. Now this here is one of the coolest markets you ever go to. Remember, you can bargain anywhere in China, but a good rule of thumb is, if you bought it, you paid too much. Now this building here has no significant value in history at all. But we're all gonna point at it and make all the locals think that we know something about it that they don't.
Merle, are we lost?
Maybe.
As our chapel comes to an end, we would like to express our gratitude to our leaders. So Deirdre, if you could come up here. Merle and Deirdre are amazing. They not only helped us learn and live in another culture, but also helped us grow as individuals. They are the best leaders we could have asked for. Unfortunately, Merle couldn't be here, and he's never really been a big fan of discussing feelings anyway, so we'll keep his part short. His knowledge regarding China and its history, his connections to many wonderful people there, his dry sense of humor, and his patience were invaluable to us. We are all very excited to see him again when he returns for a few days in January and thank him in person. Okay, now Deirdre. From helpful comments on journals to hosting Girls' Day with PB&J sandwiches, from checking in through emails to lugging an extra suitcase home full of our souvenirs, you have supported us during this experience. Seeing you leave was a hard part of the trip, but we could still feel your support even when you're on the other side of the world. It's nice to personally know how great our undergraduate dean is. And since that office had to steal you away from China and from us, we decided to give you a Chinese painting and group picture to hang in it. But we only have the painting. So here you go.